All right, back at it. TSN Mornings, TSN 1200. Lloyd E. Creature Hammer with you. Pierre McGuire joins us about an hour from now in his usual slot. About 2 hours from now, John Liu from TSN, who covers the Montreal Canadiens, will tee that up for us. Habs and Flyers, maybe, at 8 tonight. Hey, anything can happen. They could postpone that game. You never know how things are going to go. We learned that last night. Well, that's one of five games now because of the postponement of the Hurricanes-Bruins game because of the length of Jackets Lightning. Hurricanes-Bruins dropped the puck at 11 this morning. And then you got the regular run of four games to kick off the other series. And we'll have the Habs-Flyers game for you tonight on TSN with the drop of the puck scheduled for 8 o'clock. Now, speaking of the Habs, I should work this in. The Florida Panthers on Sunday informed Dale Tallon he's out as general manager. And so they need a new GM. Reports are, Pierre LeBrun reporting this, that Scott Mellenby has been granted permission to speak to the Panthers about their vacancy as the team's general manager. Of course, Mellenby's worked a long time now in hockey ops. Behind the scenes, he's never been a GM as of yet. But he's going to get a chance to interview for the job in Florida. And, of course, when you think about Scott Mellenby and the Florida Panthers, you think about the Rats. That was him, because back in the old Miami Arena, that story started and, you know, got told and published into the paper, and everybody glommed onto it in South Florida, that there were rats in that building. There was a lot of them, apparently. And he got one, and he had a stick in his hand, and he got a rat and shot it up against a wall, and that was it for the rat. So he was the exterminator. And then that's how the plastic rats started and threw them out under the ice. And he was a part of that team that went to the Stanley Cup final and eventually lost to the Colorado Avalanche. And this is part of the reason why the Panthers need a new GM. The last time they won a playoff series was the conference final in 1996. That's it. So anyways, we'll see what happens with the vacancy there. But the reports are that Mellenby is going to get an interview to be the GM of the Florida Panthers. Spent so much time on Lightning Jackets last hour. We'll circle back to that. We're going to get to your reaction at 12-1200. Standard text message rate supply. But, you know, there's other things going on here. And while I have Creature, who is a big, big college football fan, more news yesterday, Creature, since last we spoke here, as the Pac-10 has followed the Big Ten in canceling the fall football season. We'll see if all of the Power Fives end up going down. But on top of that, there's also a chance that we could see spring football. What do you think the chances of that actually happening are?
I think they're probably pretty good, because I think that they're going to want to get a season in. So I'm leaning towards that probably happening. We'll see what happens. I don't know. Like, for me, my gut and just a little, some of the things I've been reading tells me that the SEC is probably going to want to have some type of a season this year. So maybe not every conference decides not to play fall athletic sports, including the big college football. But so we'll see what, like if they decide to do that, do the other conferences have a spring league? And I guess it'll just change the national champion and all stuff like that. But I would imagine that they would try to get a season in. Like, it's the answer to that question is money, right? So they'd probably want to get that in there. It would be weird if you're jamming two seasons into 8 months all of a sudden now. But for someone who loves college football and is a big part of my Saturdays throughout the season, like, I'm going to miss it. And if it means it's delayed and I get to see it, then yeah, I'll for sure be pumped and looking forward to that. Kind of, it does suck. Like, it, I understand it. I understand why they're in this situation and everything. Well, but it does suck.
Creature, here's the thing, and I think this, we see a lot of this. Is we're in the gotcha culture, right? And people jump all over people on social media if they say things. Just because you see somebody that loves something that's not going to happen because of COVID-19 doesn't mean that they're ignorant to why it's happening, okay? Or it's not happening. It's two different tracks here. It's okay to say, hey, man, I'm disappointed. I'm really bummed out. I love college football. It sucks. Well, you don't get it. Well, it's the person's not saying that, okay? The person usually probably gets it as to why, and it's okay to be disappointed that they're not going to get to watch something that they love and which has been a big part of their fall and their sports fandom, if you will. So at this point, the ACC and the SEC have not altered their plans to play the fall season, despite Big Ten and Pac-12 saying that they will not be playing a fall season. Here's the problem that the ACC and the SEC have is the fact that you've had these two other Power Five conferences pull the plug, right? To me, it makes it even more difficult for you to go forward just strictly from a liability issue, right? Because of the precedent of two other major conferences deciding that, you know what, we're not doing it. It's not worth the risk. If somebody else goes forward, because of course the ACC and the SEC would love to go forward, right? You get even more eyeballs for people who really want to see college football. But
and you got teams like Nebraska saying that they want to join one of those conferences.
Exactly, yeah. So, but do you not think it's going to be even more difficult to – they're going to want to do it, but because you've had, you know, Big Ten and Pac-12 say, no, it's not going to happen. To me, when I think about these big picture items like this as to, okay – do everything you can to try to make it happen. Be safe. Get it. Like NHL bubble, NBA, but whatever. That's not really feasible right now at this point, you know, with college football that way. But when I think about the pros and cons and whether or not something will happen or not, you take emotion out of it and then just follow the money, follow the liability, follow the risk involved financially for playing. It, like you're trying to recoup or not lose as much money by playing, right? Because if they do play, there's no fans. We get that, okay? So you weigh that against, well, okay, what if something really goes sideways? So what are we on the hook liability-wise, right? So to me, it's just going to make it so difficult, I think, Creature, for the ACC and the SEC to continue on as is.
I agree. I just, because of what baseball's doing, I think that there's going to be leagues, and maybe the NFL, it seems like the NFL is one of them, is they're just going to try to go about business in the as-per-usual way and hope that they can skate by this thing. So I don't know. Like I think they're going to try. I think absolutely they're going to try if they can.
Yeah, you can. But also the other thing is it's pro versus – technically amateur, right?
Yeah.
As well, and kids, air quotes, versus men, professional that way. Anyway, so that's kind of the latest on that. We had the Pac-12 follow suit with the Big Ten. They're not going to play, and we'll see if there's going to be any spring football, and we'll see what the other conferences decide to do as well. Thoughts on that, 12-1200, your standard text message rates do apply here. All right, we got some texts that did come in a little bit earlier on here. Robert Barron chimes in on and Hammer tweeted out the side-by-side of the Jones and Hedman plays, and one was a penalty last night and one was not. So check that out at our TSN 1200 Twitter feed. Robert Barron writes, which ref made the call on Jones and which one was following on the Atkinson play? If it was a different guy in each case, might be a factor in the different outcomes, different official, different judgment, something to consider. I guess, yeah. I'd have to go look at that. I could see that argument a little bit, but there's a certain tone to overtime. Like, this is not new. I don't care if it's a one-referee system or it's a two-referee system. We all know this, and this is, to me, has been a problem with the NHL over the years, where the bar for how the rules of the game are going to be called change in the playoffs, and they change when you get in overtimes. And you ride the line as let them play. Like, to me, I'm always I don't want to see chintzy stuff called. If it's kind of debatable as you're watching it in real time, for the most part, let it go. Call the plays. You have to call the plays to take away scoring chances, and you have to call the egregious BS if there's a check from behind or something like that. And then also what's happened in the league over the years is we've had the introduction of so many different rules. It kind of takes referees off the hooks. Like, well, no, we call penalties in overtime. Here's the game sheet. Yeah, okay, puck over glass.
Yeah.
High stick. Too many men in the ice. Okay, those aren't discretionary calls, really. You know, so if you're a referee, and I get it, you don't want to influence the outcome of a game. That's the last thing you want to do. But then you start to weigh it. Well, if you don't make some calls, though, the takeaway scoring chances, you are technically influencing the outcome of a game.
And just for last night's play as an example, like if they call that a penalty, Columbus scores on the power play, and Tampa's hot about it, well, here's why it was a penalty, and we made the same call earlier in the game. Like, you're not, it's not like we're calling the outcome of the game, and we're five overtimes into this thing. Like, it's like if they call that, I don't think anything comes back their way negatively.
And just maybe I'm getting a little bit off point here, but it just tweaked me from that text that we had as well. I've always, from the get-go, when they introduced the second referee, I never really got on board. And I remember this is when Bobby Clark was still general manager of the Flyers, and he was at a GM's meetings, and he emerged, and I thought that, you know what, this makes a lot of sense. He says, why are we throwing another guy on the ice in a game that's only getting faster with bigger guys to get in the way and not call things that they see? Right? And use their discretion. Like, I would be fine. Go back to one referee and just empower the linesman a little bit more to call things that are egregious, the behind the play BS, that way. And because the ice surface isn't getting any bigger, the players are getting faster. They're getting bigger. It's you're putting another official on the ice. And sure, I guess there are times where a referee is going to make the call that he sees something that somebody else doesn't. But for the most part, that doesn't really happen very often. And just empower the linesmen more. And that way, you have, to Robert Barron's point, maybe, you truly have one referee with a feel for the game that he's calling here. Okay? This is the way it's going to be. This is my standard. It's kind of like umpires and strike zones, right? This is my standard early in the game. This is the way it's going to go. Because ever since the advent of the two referee system, it has been a little tougher to get a feel, right? It has been, because you got two guys out there, and they're going to see things a little bit differently. I don't know. I don't know how you feel about that, but I've never been a big fan of the two referee system.
Yeah, I don't say I feel strongly one way or another. I guess just to counter your points, if you're giving the linesman more responsibility to make calls, are they then potentially out of position to make their usual calls, like icing and offside and all that? But you're right. They should be able to at least have a conversation. Like if they see something, maybe not blow it down immediately, but once there's, I don't know, a stoppage in play or something, be able to have a discussion with the ref. I'm not sure. But yeah, it would make sense to take a body off of it, considering how little time and space there already is out there.
And here's a little, I found myself watching this last night a little bit as well. I give all the credit in the world to the referees and the linesmen. Like they didn't get a break, right? They called that entire game, and they're not sitting on the bench at all. They're on the ice for that long calling the game. So, you know, tip of the hat to that right there. That's a tough day at the office. But also, especially when you watch teams, and everybody cycles the puck eventually, right? Some teams do it more than other. How nimble officials are just to get out of the way of players so they can continue to make plays.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
It's insane.
With jumping on dashers and just being like you often see a puck hit an official, but like they're so good at reading those plays, like you barely notice them. Like if there's a cycle down low and a team's moving the puck really well, like down low in the offensive zone, like you almost barely see the official. But they're out there and they have to get out of the way. Like they do a really good job of reading that and knowing where to be and how to react. Which it's got to be such a tough gig.
Oh man, yeah. If you don't appreciate that, next time you see you're watching a game, it could be whenever. Just watch an official that's in the end zone if it's a cycle going, and watch the movement, and
it's how crazy.
It is nuts, you know, how athletic they have to be, and how quick and smart they have to be to just to try to stay out of the way. with how quickly things happen out there. All right, thoughts on that? 12-1200 standard text message rate supply. Keep sending those in. We'll take a break here. Other things still to hit on here on the show. Well, a couple of interviews. We got Pierre McGuire in his usual 8 o'clock time slot. We got John Liu coming up shortly after 9 o'clock. We'll filter in more of your text messages. Only got to a couple so far this morning. We've got five. We can start a bit of a look ahead as well. We got five series opening games today because of the postponement of Canes Bruins. That's 11 this morning, and then the regular four starting at 3 this afternoon. We're going to have the Habs and Flyers for you. Big reason why we got John Liu coming on our airwaves at 8 tonight. We are back in a moment on TSN Mornings on TSN 1200. Your standard text message rates always do apply. All right, let's look ahead a little bit here, okay? So we've got the five games. We got the Bruins and Hurricanes coming up at 11. And to me, and we talked about this yesterday, Graham, that was the number one series that I was interested in the most for me. Just how intriguing it is because of how well Carolina has played, how great they looked in the Rangers series. Their style of play is exciting. Their forecheck. And then you've got the team that had the most points in the NHL this season that had a horrible seeding round. It's intriguing for me. So we have to wait on that. That's 11 this morning. Here's the problem here. I'm not going to lie. It's a heavy coffee morning, okay? All right? We've got the 11 a.m. faceoff. Then we've got Washington and the Islanders at 3. We got Colorado and Zona at 5:30. We got Philadelphia and Montreal at 8. And we got St. Louis and Vancouver at 10:30. It's I'm not going to lie. I got to pick my spots today.
Yeah.
Would you got to have a little nap now here, Sophie?
There might be a nappy poo in the future here. Okay? I might have to tell my daughter that loves to go for a walk. We might not be doing, a long one today.
You can't take the walk away from her, Dad.
We're going to do a walk. We went for a good long one yesterday, and it was hot.
Almost 7K.
Yeah, we did almost a 7K walk yesterday after the show. Just because Hammer's speaking to her during the breaks, and he's well, make sure Dad takes you. Thanks, Hammer. That was good.
Heck yeah, of course.
Appreciate that.
That's some good father-daughter time.
He's got to
right
look
there
out for his new buddy.
It was so hot by the end. She was complaining, though, which I kind of liked. I'm like, good. She's going to remember how hot it was.
We'll learn that lesson.
Okay.
Good.
How you feeling? Huh? You're dragging, huh? Legs aren't as long as mine. Have a good time?
Now what you got to do then, instead of just saying, oh, sorry, we can't go, I'm going to nap, you offer, hey, you want to go for a walk? And maybe she's like, eh, no, we don't have to go today. After that 7K.
That's a good point.
Could backfire, though.
I grease it ahead. I'm like, I just looked at it's, maybe fuds the truth a little bit. Oh, it's going to be even hotter today, too.
Should we try to go 10K today?
We got to better ourselves. Yeah, it's all good. Anyways, I think I'm going to be a spot picker today with these games.
You have to be. You have to be, especially... when you have kids, it's a different game. You no longer can you just sit there and watch every game and have no other obligations. So you gotta strategically pick what you're gonna do, how you're gonna ask for it, and see,
really?
So 8 and 10. Well, 8's no problem. 10:30 is not a problem under normal circumstances. You know what? I'm gonna watch some of that game tonight. Might be a
the
little
late
bit,
one.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch some of that late one.
I don't know if I'm gonna make it for that.
Yeah.
Well, then where are you scheduling your nap there, Creech?
Oh, I get so.
Maybe
here's,
I gotta talk to your daughters too about taking the old man out for a stroll too.
I don't know today because the 11 o'clock game throws a wrench into it. Like this is what I've been doing this week. Okay, so get home about 10:30-ish. And hang out with the girls, go outside or whatever, do a walk, play in the backyard, something like that. And then, so our youngest still has naps, like she's just less than 1.5, so she goes down for the nap. So she usually goes around lunchtime, like 12:30.
Save her that.
Yes. So I go for the nap now at 12:30.
Beautiful.
And I try not to go too long. I've talked to a bunch of you guys, and I guess a lot of guys have said an hour and a half is kind of, that's the target. You don't want to sleep too much because then you have a hard time getting to sleep at night and so on. So that's what I try to mix that in there. But so I don't know. Then maybe, I'll just push it back a little bit. Maybe I'll go down at 1:30-ish. Then if there's no 5 overtime game, I should be able to finish Boston, Carolina. Maybe I'll miss the first period of Washington, New York.
Yeah, how interested are you in the Islanders, Capitals series, in this game?
Do the Caps, did they officially change their jerseys full-time? I know this is... I'm talking sweaters here.
Does that matter
yeah.
in terms
you know what?
Of if you're going to
sweater
watch the
appeal,
game or not?
Sweater appeal matters to me. If the Caps have that...
You're so vain.
If
they got to look good.
If the Caps have that unbelievable jersey that they have, I honestly don't remember if it's their full-time or they just wear it partially. At that combined with the Islanders sweater, which I think is the best in the NHL, unbelievable sweater appeal. But I'll watch it. I'm into all the series. Like... Even Colorado, Arizona.
It's playoffs.
Yeah, it's playoff, especially round one. Like, typically, I watch this, like, in normal times where the games are starting at, like, 8 o'clock or you get the staggered 7, 7:38, and so on. I'm watching every game. Like, the first round, I watch everything. It's a little different now because games are starting at 11 a.m. and I'm waking up at 4:30. But, I'm still going to try to mix it all in.
I probably for a lot of our listeners, it doesn't matter if you're a Habs fan or not, but in this market here, I'm circling the Philadelphia Montreal game. All right. That's home base for me today. I'm watching all of that game, right? Because there's a lot of interest in this market, divisional rival, a lot of Habs fans here as well. That's kind of a work purposes game. I'm not missing. No way. That's number one.
That's for me. That's easy too because it's 8 o'clock. Like
yes,
kids are in bed.
It's the prime time spot.
Yeah, like it's no that game's no problem. I'll watch that start to finish.
And I'm like I said, I want to watch Bruins Canes. I think it's going to be awesome. But this is how it's going to go for me. If I'm left alone and I you know okay.
If I'm left alone.
Okay. Well, my wife's at work. Okay, so I'm here. All
Dad's
right.
working.
I'm here. If I'm left, no. This is where it's going to go. If I'm left alone, I'm definitely nodding off on the couch. I'm going to be fighting it. I'm going to be the old close the one eye because you're losing focus with two. Probably if I'm not bothered too much and I'm allowed to sit there and try to watch it, I'm not going to make. I know the nap's just going to happen organically during that game for me.
You know what this sounds like, Creech? This sounds like the old man's going to let loose on the reins of the old iPad. And the Roblox games,
yep.
and the YouTube restrictions, and it's just going to be a free reign at the old Lloyd Manor.
How dare you?
Do what you want, ladies.
Do what you want, ours.
It's all your time.
Yeah,
and
you
then you'll take it right away when you're done.
I have forgotten about this. Text comes in, PVR, my friends, you can watch a game in 1 hour, unless it's goes to a friggin' fifth overtime. I don't know why I brain cramped on that. Like, I think that's exactly what I'm going to do for the Washington, New York, Colorado, Arizona. I think I will PVR those, and I'll start Washington game late and be able to rip through it. Colorado, Arizona, I don't know when I can squeeze that in because I don't want to. Maybe I'll start PVRing Philly, Montreal, so that I could PVR and rip through Colorado, Arizona, and then rip through like a period and a half of Montreal, Philly. I don't know. I feel like that one I kind of want to watch organically, though. I want it to be live. I don't know.
I rarely PVR play catch-up sports, though, still. There's just something about it. Even if I try to stay off social media and don't respond to text messages and what have you, I don't want to know. I just want to watch it. I think the only time I've done that is if I know I'm going to be late to start something I want to watch, and I'll play catch up to get to the point. I can't just record a game and just watch it in the morning, or watch it much later in that day. It's just I can't do it.
Well, that's what
I just know it's old
for me. It won't be that much later. Like the 3 o'clock, I'll probably start when they're in the second period. I have no idea about Colorado, Arizona, but
okay,
typically
you're
right.
Okay, well, let's catch up in real time.
That's mostly what I do. Like, for example, like if I'm playing beer league hockey and there's a game on, then I'll even if whatever time it is, if it's 11 at night, whatever time it is that I'm missing, that I get home and then you just fire through it and you get through.
Well, that's a work
quickly.
Thing for all of us. So if it's a Sens game, you got to watch the game.
Yeah,
doesn't
exactly.
matter what time it is. You got to make sure you watch it and right. Because everybody's going to want to talk about it the next day when we're doing the shows here. All right, so there's five games today. The first one starts at 11, Bruins and Hurricanes, and then we got the four regular games coming up, and that's going to start at 3. All right, we'll take a break. Come back here. We got to pick a game for our odd shark, okay? Line of the day before the top of the hour creature. Look at the odds. You pick the game for us today, all right? Let's make some money. Creature, let's make some big money.
Hey, it's all on you. I made some money yesterday, although I did pick the favorite, but I made some money. I just knew Colorado or Columbus coming off long, hard-fought, emotional series with Toronto. Bang on, Lloydy.
You could have retired if you would have called the five overtimes as well, though.
Yeah, you know what? I also called the Braves to hammer the Phillies the night before, or on Monday.
That
didn't work out.
Oh, man. All right, we'll take a break. Back in a moment on TSN Mornings and TSN 1200. Very simple whip poll question of the day, brought to you by the Tool and Equipment Store, was posted by a very simple man, and that's our Matt Hammer. All right, Hammer? Hey, you kept it simple.
Yeah, that's good. What I always try to do.
I like simplicity. It's all good.
Life and poll questions. Keep it simple.
Only two options and five letters for Hammer to type in there. So he kept it simple.
Should NHL playoff overtime be continuous five on five? It is a yes or no question. Zero votes. Zero votes.
Good.
That's what I got. Unless let me refresh.
Zero
again.
Votes or 0%? No.
No. It's 100% to zero.
Yes.
All right, fantastic.
And keeping it as is.
You scared Hammer there for a second.
Yeah.
What did I do wrong? What happened?
Nobody
system's down.
My poll question?
All right. So
I'm happy with that. I figured the yeses would outweigh the no. I didn't think it would be 100%, especially after Mike Milbury's outstanding takes yesterday. But yeah, I'm happy to see that 100%. Right on.
This could be okay. Listen, don't be that person if you're listening. I'm just gonna say no to screw it up. It's a nice clean sheet right now. Okay, let's if only vote no if you truly in your heart of hearts believe that. Don't screw this up for us,
Caleb.
All right, yeah, Caleb, we're talking to you right now. All right.
What was not to enjoy about yesterday/last night's game? It was fantastic. It was great.
My only disappointment is that I didn't watch any of Calgary-Dallas.
Same here.
That's true.
And Carolina-Boston was postponed.
I watched the last 6 minutes. I'm sure a lot of people that if you were dialed in last night were the same. I watched the last 6 minutes or so of Calgary-Dallas because that's when one of the intermissions started, right, for the Columbus-Tampa game here. All right, so keep those votes coming on our website. All right, you mentioned
and
that
somebody's
we'll circle...
already voted no.
Of course.
Caleb.
Thanks, Caleb. Way to go, Caleb. Way to go. So my good friend Graham Creech mentioned Mike Milbury. If you missed it, Mike's on Twitter. Created the Twitter account a couple months ago. Had the call last night with Gord Miller on NBC Sports. And Brian Boucher is in the Pope bubble with the glass house that they've built. Pierre Maguire's in the same type of thing out west as well. So that's the broadcast south of the border. So Milbury's calling the game with Gord Miller. He leaves after the game is over. I'll just read the tweet. It's a blurry, blurry picture that he's taken of the CN Tower because he's in Toronto. This is important to note that he's obvious. He's in Toronto. He's taken a picture of the CN Tower on what appears to be a flip phone from 2002. On another worldly night, Space Needle is an appropriate backdrop. Insane Columbus TB game. God bless both teams for a great effort. Enough, though. I believe we should end these games sooner via 3-on-3 or a shootout after a time. What do you think? Not getting much support for his hockey take in there, which led to our web poll question, but really he's taking it on the chin because there's two things. You got the trends for you, right? I'm on my Twitter page on my desktop here. Okay. You go to the right. Number one, I got Milbury. Number two is Space Needle.
That's good.
Oh, man. Creature?
Yeah.
Your thoughts on... I don't even know how you even offer a comment on not knowing where he is.
Did he get hit by a shoe on his way back to his hotel?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Right across the head?
Yeah, well, if he didn't, maybe he needs to...
Or let's
maybe
indulge the conversation little bit.
Maybe it's a master troll.
Maybe.
A masterful troll job by Mike Milbury.
I don't believe it. Maybe the Space Needle thing, but I still don't believe it. I think because he let his opinions on overtime known during the call of the game, a game he was calling. He said he wanted it. It was boring, and he wanted it to end with a shootout or 3-on-3. So...
it was not boring.
But that's what he was saying. Like, it was like the game he's calling, he's complaining about. And so I truly believe he probably feels that way. And then what was the other thing? Oh, the Space Needle. I don't think he's trolling. Why would you troll there? I think it was just. Yeah,
or just
I don't know. Maybe he just thought it was called the Space Needle.
A thoughtless comment, and didn't realize, you know, the Canadian that he is that it's the CN Tower that's in Toronto, and not the Space Needle.
What do they call it in Calgary? What's that one called? It's got the same kind of tower structure.
Same look.
Yeah. Anyways, somebody over will tell us here. Okay, so that's tweet of the night right there, right? Traction tweet of the night.
That is called the Calgary Tower.
The Calgary Tower. Oh, wow. You know what's hilarious?
That's inventive.
You know what? I Googled Calgary Tower.
And that's
what it's called.
Yeah.
I had no idea that's what it was called. Okay. I'm just like, well, I'm not going to Google Calgary Space Needle or Calgary CN Tower.
Nope. Space Needle, definitely in Seattle.
Sometimes simplicity works. We'll circle back to that comment, right? Okay. It's like here in this province, hey, I need some beer. Where are you going to? I'm going to go to the beer store. What's it called? It's called the beer store.
Oh, so would you?
That's where I get my beer.
Would you have cut Mike some slack if he called it the Toronto Tower?
Now the tweet
doesn't make sense anymore, obviously, because he's making a reference to the Space Needle.
You know what he needs to do now, though? Like, if he ever calls a game in Calgary, he needs to take a picture to troll everyone and call it the Space Needle.
Or the CN Tower, beautiful CN Tower in Calgary today.
Yeah. If you had a moment like that and the massive brain fart, that's the best way to handle it after the fact. Throw yourself under the bus, make fun of yourself.
Yeah, you rip it again.
Will he do that? We'll see. So anyways, I would say in a very close second, this was an intentional troll. I'm going to go back in time. First, I got to read this one. Here is the tweet from April 16th, 2019. After, obviously, the Lightning had just been swept by the Columbus Blue Jackets. Here's a tweet from the official Lightning account. We don't have any words, and we know you don't want to hear them. We understand your anger, your frustration, your sadness, everything you're feeling. We get it. This isn't the ending we imagined, and certainly not the one we wanted. Thank you for being there the entire way. Tampa Bay Lightning, April 16th, 2019. Last night, shortly after it was announced that the game was going to be postponed between Carolina and the Bruins, tweet comes out at 8:32 last night from the official Carolina Hurricanes Twitter feed. We don't have any words, and we know you don't want to hear them. We understand your anger, your frustration, your sadness, everything you're feeling. We get it. This isn't the start time we imagined. And certainly not the one we wanted. Thank you for being there the entire way. Wow.
Well done.
Yeah, that's good.
And did you see the multiple trolls that the Hurricanes threw out there after sweeping the Rangers as well? Their social media has gone to another level. It was already good.
Yeah, it's good. Oh. It is good.
They're going full on because the first NHL account to actually openly troll like that was LA a few years ago. And they got a lot of, I think Carolina is probably the number one seed now in the league without a question for this kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
Wow. All right. We'll take a break. We'll get into more hockey talk with Pierre McGuire, who joins us from the Edmonton bubble. That's coming up next on TSN Mornings on TSN 1200.